Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Working right now to get Chairman John Wall of the Alabama Republican Party on the line. As soon as we get that line cleared up and him on with us, we'll have him on to talk about what's going on with the Democrats who can't quite seem to get their act together. You may recall we had Secretary of State Wes Allen on the show earlier this week. If you didn't hear, it's a great one to pick up on the podcast. I mean, you can go. By the way, all of our shows, we do them live every day for 3 hours, right? And then Big Rig takes them and puts them together into what I would call a cleaner, advertising-free scenario, and puts them up on the podcasting sites. All of them. I mean, everyone you can think of. You know, Apple iTunes, Podbean. We're out there on YouTube. We're all over the place. And the podcast is going crazy right now. Huge uptick in people downloading it. And one of the things we'll have this past week was Secretary of State Wes Allen. So Secretary of State Wes Allen just kind of shocked the world. He came out there and he goes, yeah, I sent a letter to the Democratic National Committee. Let them know that they've apparently set their conference, the big convention, for after the deadline by Alabama law for me to receive the certified list of candidates. What? And he's saying, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will not be on the ballot if you do not get those to me by the date required by Alabama law. And of course, liberals begin to freak out. How dare he? He's trying to keep Biden off the ballot. Well, he's telling them what the law is. And guess what? He's also telling them that unlike in some states where liberals are in charge, that he will not unilaterally try to act in contrary fashion to the law. He recognizes that's a legislative process. Well, Phil, in 2020, they let the Republicans and the Democrats have, you know, the ability to turn in their numbers late. No, not actually. They let them have an opportunity to be late after the legislature took action. So what's your point? How about this? In 2020, Republicans and Democrats both saw that they had set their conference or their conventions too late. Okay. So they set their conferences too late, and yet what we're looking at now is the Republicans remembered their lesson and set their conference for a time that made sense because they recognized, ballot access is actually the most important part of an election. If you're not on the ballot, nothing else matters. Democrats, not so much. They set theirs for, by the way, why'd they set it so late? They set theirs for late August. Alabama law, Ohio law, I believe Georgia law, and two or three others actually say that's going to wind up being too late. And if you're not on the ballot, then what good does it do? I got a few text messages. Let me see what they got here regarding that bomber for the Alabama Attorney General's office. Oh, yeah, it's the one Tom and Tanner. That's right. Tom from Tanner is the one who said the dude gives D&D geeks a bad name. Yes, he does. Glenn from Bluntsville says this guy is a Hamas sympathizer. Let him go see how much sympathy he gets from Hamas. Man, I'm telling you, Glenn, it's not going to go well for him. Rita from Scottsboro. Hey, there you are, Rita. I haven't heard from you in a while. I hope you're doing well. He says, hey, Phil, speaking of the dump button, you remember that time when Copper was on the board and she played some rap song that had a really bad word in it? I just remember you turning it off, turn it off. I'd forgotten about this, but yes, she thought it'd be a great sound effect to back up something we were doing. And I was yelling, turn it off. Oh my gosh, that was a hoot. I got to go back and find that one because that was a classic. All right, listen, I got several things to talk through with you, not the least of which is the fact that politicians say some of the most unscientific things. So number three on the triple dipper here, I'm calling it say what? Because there are things that get said sometimes and you look at it and go, well, you're apparently too stupid to live. So how did you make it to Congress? But listen, there are some classics, all right? There are some classics. And one of my all-time favorites comes from 2010, maybe 2011. Representative Hank Johnson, Democrat from Georgia, which, by the way, saying stupid stuff is a bicameral thing, all right? It's a bipartisan. It happens in both parties. But to me, one of my favorite moments, and there's a video out there, you can look it up. Representative, I tell you what, if you're curious, just type in Hank Johnson, Guam, and see what happens. So Representative Hank Johnson was in a hearing in the House Armed Services Committee. Those are important people. They make decisions about our military, right? Representative Hank Johnson was receiving a briefing from an admiral, Admiral Robert Willard, head of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, about the, you know, increase to the military presence on the island of Guam. Hank Johnson, I kid you not, Hank Johnson asked the question. He says, my fear is that if the whole island would become so overpopulated that it might tip over and capsize. And Admiral Willard, to his credit, kept a pretty straight face, just paused briefly and said, we don't anticipate that. So they're this guy's in Congress. My fear is that the whole island would become so overpopulated it might tip over and capsize. Congressman, we don't anticipate that happening. this is a guy who makes decisions for us, y'all. It's a guy who has a long career in Congress. And this stuff gets said. You probably saw just this week, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee. Oh, holy cow. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, not always known for being a rocket surgeon. She is sort of taking the cake this week. So Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, article I've got here for the New York Post, it says she stunned attendees at a recent high school solar eclipse event this past Monday. She was there speaking, and she told them that the planet of the moon is made up largely of gases. No, ma'am. No, it's actually not. Says you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take an opportunity to come out and see a full moon. It's a completely round circle made up largely of gases. And then it just got worse from there. She's 74 years old. Somewhere in her lifetime, I would like to believe that she got some measure of education that indicated to her that the moon is actually made up of dirt and rock, dust and other solid substances. You know, not bunches of gas. But then she went on to say, you know, the moon, it actually, you know, gives off, how'd she put it? Hang on, let me find it here. Could we live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The gases. And then she says that you have the energy of the moon at night because it gives off unique lights and energies. No, ma'am, it actually doesn't. It just reflects what the sun's doing. And it just, listen, folks, politicians who get to office, you just have to know that there are times when something gets said and you find yourself going, do what? Like, how about this? There are times, like President Barack Obama, he said, we've seen a skyrocketing autism rate. Some people are suspicious it's connected to vaccines, this person included. The science right now is inconclusive. We have to research it. Okay, we're looking at, yes, there's some things that may have to get explored. But then you have stuff like, I don't know, Representative Dennis Kucinich. While we wait for scientists to sort out the health effects of cell phone radiation, we ought to allow consumers to have some more information to choose a phone with less radiation. I wasn't aware that we had radiation levels marked on our phones, but apparently it's scary. And then you have Representative John Shimkus. If we decrease the use of carbon dioxide, aren't we taking away plant food from the atmosphere? Oh, God. And then one of my favorites, though, is Representative Joe Barton. He said, wind is God's way of balancing heat. Oh, okay. Wind is the way you shift heat from areas where it's hotter to areas where it's cooler. That's what wind is. Wouldn't it be ironic if in the interest of global warming, we mandated massive switches to energy, which is a finite resource, which slows the wind down and then causes the temperature to go up? I honestly don't know what study he was reading, but I'm pretty sure that's not the way this works. Glenn from Bluntsville, just checking in. He says, You know the moon is made out of cheese, though. Yes, that's a thing from the past, by the way. And then Lewis from Trinity says, someday in the later years, the Admiral needs to come out and tell us what was really going through his mind at that moment. Maybe in his memoirs, he can title the book, When Guam Tipped Over. Awesome. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. And I may have a question for you, and I'm going to need some input. Oh, yeah. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. You know, the say what thing that happens every once in a while, you find that literally the nut jobs are just supported for reasons you cannot even begin to fathom. Like who's coddling these people? Why is any elected official right now out there supporting the transgender movement? Because it's getting worse by the day. There's a study out right now. I just saw it. Where'd it go? I'm going to go back to Fox News. I just saw it. Yeah, it's up on foxnews.com right now. Puberty blockers could cause long-term fertility and health issues for boys, studies find. You think? Well, I told y'all before, we're going to wind up seeing mass litigation, in my opinion, and that's going to wind up being something that that carries forward for years. But yeah, a new study, which has not yet been peer-reviewed, analyzed more than 130,000 sperm cells from male children who have been treated with so-called gender-affirming care. And what they're finding is that none of them are developing, for the most part, in a healthy way. They have what they call sex gland atrophy, which means that it's as if their sex glands are aging well ahead of the norm, and they're likely to be sterile for life. And yet, this is the kind of thing that's happening, and hospitals are still giving this treatment. Doctors are still prescribing these medications. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, it's got to stop. We're going to be judged by this one day as a society for allowing this to happen. And then there's also the thing I talked about earlier, the American Jihad, the support for Israel. I do not want to be on the wrong side of that discussion. I do not want our nation, I do not want our state, I do not want our communities, and I certainly don't want my household to be on the wrong side of that discussion. Because support for Israel, I think, needs to remain unwavering. And what Biden's doing right now is that what I say Sparky's calling? And he's got a comment on that very thing. Let me just grab that real quick. Sparky from Harvest, how you doing, brother?
Hey, great show today.
Thanks, man.
I had said something some time ago that a lot of the people who out of nowhere decided they're pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel probably couldn't pick out Israel on a globe if I pointed them to the right hemisphere, right?
Right.
So I was in a grocery store. I won't name the store. And there was a gal, looked like a university lady, wearing a Palestinian pin, and we started talking, and I said, yeah, I know a Palestinian local businessman. He escaped out of there so his family could be alive and he could prosper here. And she started chatting, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. Which is closer to Israel, Egypt or South Africa? And she started kind of talking over me. I said, no, which place is closer to Israel, Egypt or South Africa? And she had no idea.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
Okay, so you got on the bandwagon, decide you're anti-Israel, and you have no idea where that place is.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is uncanny.
Yeah.
And then she got really mad at me because obviously I was a Trumper. She called me a Trumper. I said, you don't know what I am. And I'm terrible at geography.
Wait, let me guess. You were not visiting San Francisco when this happened. That was probably right around here, right?
Hey, I was in Madison. Hey, on the topic of the transgender,
let me,
if we've got just a second.
Yeah.
I've always counseled and advised younger people, because I'm getting quite old now, that decisions on your college major, decisions especially on relationships and getting married as young as 18, 19, 20, I always tell them, your prefrontal cortex, where the decisions are made, where the decision, where your judgment is, it's not done forming. For a young girl, usually around 22, 23, a young man, 24, 25. You really can't make good informed decisions on anything until you're, later in your 20s. Now, look at the people trying to push children into transgender surgeries and mutilation.
Yeah.
Because it's the topic du jour for psychotic crazies. That is, you're right about lawsuits, but I mean, the criminality of destroying a young boy or girl's ability to ever have children or father children someday, which is exactly what they're doing, it's absolutely criminal to me.
It is. You know, I've said more than once, I mean, I used to, like, you know, be reading the Bible, and I'd read about, you know, Old Testament times sacrificing their children to the pagan gods of Molech and others, and thinking, how does a society become so depraved they just let their kids be sacrificed to an agenda or a fake god? And yet, look at where we are. I mean, you're watching kids be sacrificed for an agenda. It's amazing.
Well, I don't know. I think the attention span of your average fanatic of almost any political stripe, but especially the far left, is pretty limited. And I predict that in a couple of seasons from now, it's going to be some other insanity, and they're going to let go of trying to champion transgenders as some sort of noble pursuit and victimized by cruel judgment on the part of people like me. And they're going to be on something else. You know, in a couple of seasons, we probably can't even begin to imagine whatever that is, but it's going to be insane.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If I have time, I may get to a story that I'm sitting here in front of me that may give a clear indication of where it's all headed. All right, Spark, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call, and I appreciate your time and your insights.
Great show, Colonel. Appreciate you.
Thank you, buddy. See you. We got a great audience, and I got several text messages we'll get to right after the break. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, it's what kind of Alabama do you want to live in? And for that matter, the American jihad, we got to shut it down. And then if you're going to have politicians that are so inane that the cacistocracy is in full form, that they can say the most innocuous things or support the worst stuff and still remain in office, I'm just saying, it's we got to fix it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I tell you who else covers a lot of ground, too, by the way. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a lot of ground in North Alabama. I'm talking about places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. I hear there's more coming. Y'all, Southern Immediate Care at every one of their locations is open 7 days a week, and they will see all ages. So if the baby gets sick on a Saturday, you still got a place to go. You don't have to go to the emergency room. You don't have to worry about waiting until Monday. That's amazing. And listen, this is who I use personally. And I mean that with all sincerity. Southern Immediate Care is who I use personally, not because they advertise, but because I was already using them and was so pleased with their cleanliness, their professionalism, their friendliness. Every time I went in, that I thought I could brag on this. So I went and asked them, and they said, you know what? Yeah. So here they are. One of our sponsors, Southern Immediate Care. You need attention 7 days a week. You look them up, find the location nearest to you, head on down there, and while you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio, and I would appreciate that. By the way, I will have to add one thing here. If you hear the advertising playing during the breaks, like Southern Immediate Care is one of our advertisers, just know this, Right Side Radio, we're a standalone entity. We're not owned by the stations you might be hearing us on right now. We send them our show. And it takes something to be able to run something, right? It takes revenue to run any business, and we're no different. Right Side Radio has an audience that is huge across the entire northern half of the state, number one in the ratings. And we also, by the way, are told that with all our stations together, well over 30,000 people a week are listening to what we do here on Right Side every single day. So, that being said, if you're a Right Side ruffian and you have goods and services to sell, guess what? We got a captive audience for you that might rather buy from you, another ruffian. So if you want to advertise at Right Side, the way you do it is to go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising contact tab, send us a message, and Lauren from Right Side will be in touch ASAP. Yeah, advertise on Right Side Radio. Go to rightsideradio.org. I've asked the question several times today. It was part of my monologue. What Alabama do you want to live in? I mean, which Alabama do you want? What kind of country do you want to be in? That's the kind of it's not, it sounds rhetorical, but it's not. That's the kind of question that we have to ask, because then it drives us. If indeed we want something different than what we have, complaints are never the answer. Complaints only serve to identify the problem. The problem still has to be solved. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to live in a nation that puts up with people like what I'm about to tell you about. TheBlaze.com has an article that came out yesterday. Prominent LGBT activist faces humiliating reality check when suggesting that various animals are biologically trans. Okay. It also starts off sounding stupid, but then you begin to realize where the article's going. It says a prominent LGBT activist took to X on Sunday, that's Twitter, with the bold claim that there are at least 18 species of biologically trans animals. K. Australian leftist Peter Tatchell may have grown accustomed to passing off many of his radical views in the current political climate, but this political suggestion died on arrival. He's been roundly ridiculed. Well, that's great. However, this guy Tatchell, he's known. He's been courting controversy for years. Like, even in the United Kingdom in the 1990s, when he was arguing that the age of consent for sexual conduct with adults should be 14 or less. Folks, this guy has written things that are so shocking that most people don't even want to talk about it. But like, he's got a book called Dare to Speak, which challenges the assumption that all sex involving children and adults is considered abusive. He even calls it courageous. He even talks about the fact that he believes, and he knows, he says, of people who have had sex with minors, and there was never any claim of abuse. Listen, if we're going to be a society that allows people like this to foment that kind of thing and call for it and encourage it, we're going to be judged by that. I'm just telling you. And I just, this is one of those where I look at it and go, you know, I'm just saying, as a dad, I would have a hard time waiting for the police to get there. I would. This guy calls for schools to teach kids about the whole truth about every kind of sex and relationship. Okay. That he wrote a letter, an open letter, talking about, you know, while it might be impossible to condone pedophilia, it's time society acknowledges the truth that not all sex involving children is unwanted. We cannot allow ourselves to turn a blind eye to this kind of thing. Can't do it, man. Cannot do it. There is nothing, there's no jokes about it. There's no, oh, it's at least it's not my kids. This is the kind of thing that fosters others into thinking it's okay. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to be a society, at least in Alabama, we're finally doing some things here. I say finally, we're fighting back right now. We've got bills in our state legislature that just passed to clarify that Alabama law specifies what a man and a woman is, period. Don't even ask. Or for that matter, that we've got, you know, bills being passed right now that I hope get through the legislative process. They should. That says that sexual conduct and, you know, and parading in front of children in drag and that kind of thing is considered against the law in Alabama. We need that. We've got fights right now, like, what is going to happen in our libraries? Are we allowed to have sexual books in the children's section? Why can't we? Why should you want to, is my question. Well, the reason why they want to is because people like this guy, Mitchell or Tatchell, exist. Because there are people out there that want our society. He's not just sitting idly by in his mommy's basement dreaming up things. He's writing books about it. He's lobbying government for it. He is pushing for it, and he's been doing so for decades, and he's still out there. Now to the point that he's even saying that transgenderism is clearly identifiable because there's animals that are transgender. No, there's actually not, sir. And I'm just going to tell you, we think politicians say some stupid stuff. Well, politicians too often mollycoddle that kind of behavior. Can't let it happen. Ah, there's a mini rant for you. Sorry, just saw that article and had to jump on it. But I do have, by the way, I do have one encouraging article that Charlene just sent me a minute ago that I'm going to have to get to in just a moment. I'll take a few text messages real quick. Jay from Hartsel says, makes you wonder how some of these idiots make it through life. Bless their hearts. Indeed, sir. Talking about politicians there. Handyman from Caddo, Alabama says, everyone knows the wind is caused by trees sneezing. Well, I just never realized that, but now I do. Bless you. John from Harvest says, Sheila Jackson Lee also asked NASA scientists a year ago if they could drive the Mars rover to where Neil Armstrong placed the American flag. Okay. The Mars rover. So, by the way, Sheila Jackson Lee, who said that the moon is made up largely of gases this week, she sat on the subcommittee for space and science, just so you know. Jeff from Indiana, Kakistocracy, yes, absolutely. Kakistocracy is the the government run by the least competent of its citizens. That's where we are right now. Tom from Tanner, Alabama, again says, talk Sparky into subbing in for Butters or Lee when they can make it. Sparky always has wise commentary. Sparky, I hope you're listening, man. You're being called on. We need your commentary more often. And then Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee, talking about the guy I just read about. He goes, all you need is a backhoe, and you don't have to call the police. just dig you a hole. Yeah, no doubt. Listen, we're going to talk about a story when I get back from the break that Charlene just sent me. Close out our day. Yeah, there's crazy people in this world. Yeah, there are people calling for death to America in Dearborn, Michigan right now. There's a rise of anti-Semitism. And there's things that are happening. There's a need for us to constantly look at what kind of Alabama do we want? Why do we have to have a bill in our legislature that defines what is a man and a woman? Well, because apparently we do. But here's the thing. There are good people out there still resisting. And there are reasons why things like the Second Amendment makes us a great nation, because people are able to put it to use and stop bad guys. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you about the story here in a minute right after this break. Let me tell you two more text messages real quick. Mel from Huntsville says, when I was a kid, a man at a church wrote Jerusalem on the side of his Bible. The USA in the middle of Jerusalem was a star spangled with red and white stripes. I asked him why. He said that God's country's in the heart of his city. I always thought that was cool. That is very cool. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, Mel. And then Brad from Laredo, Tennessee says, pedophiles ought to be placed ear to ear and used as ballistic penetration testers. Woo! And on that, we will take a break. Let's take a break about a minute early there, Big Rig. We'll come back and I'll have time to tell you about this story about Mama, who has got more grit than most people half her age. Most men half her age. Oh, she fought back, and good on her. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. I got a couple of text messages real quick before I jump onto that story I told you about. Let's see what we got here. Thomas from Athens says, hey, Thomas, your text broke up, man. I've got like part of your text and I don't have all of it. So let's just say Thomas Mathis has been texting, but I don't know what it says. Try again, Thomas. Let me tell you about this story that Charlene sent to me a few minutes ago. First of all, it's a horrible story. And then you also realize, man, that woman is like got it going on. So you've probably seen stories of late, like the crime in New York City with one of the apparently, one of the fads right now is to punch a woman in the face and see what happens. Just walk up and unannounced cold cock a woman in the face. I saw a video the other day of a 65-year-old woman who is now in intensive care because as she was walking up the steps to her apartment, a thief ran up the steps, shoved her all the way back down the steps, and then stole her purse and left her bleeding and unconscious on the sidewalk. Just that kind of stuff happens. Way too frequently. What I love is when someone fights back. One of the Democrats down in the Alabama Senate, Bobby Singleton, he used to love going up to the podium and trying to filibuster, and he did a lot. And he would always say, "It ain't quite so fun when the rabbit gets the gun." And so, you know, which you look at and go, "Okay, Bobby," but in this story, it works. So, story out of Idaho, all right? In Idaho, an 85-year-old woman, she's an 85-year-old woman, was asleep in her bed when a 39-year-old convicted felon broke into the house, rousted her out of her bed. She lives there in the house with her disabled son. Now, I don't know to what level he was disabled, but from what I see in the article, it sounds like that he might have been, you know, mentally disabled to some degree. But anyway, she's living there at 85 years old, taking care of her adult, mentally challenged son. And this 39-year-old felon breaks into the home. It says that he was wearing a military jacket, black ski mask, pointing a gun and a flashlight at her. He dragged her into the living room and then handcuffed her to a wooden chair and began yelling at her, wanting to know where her valuables were. She told him, "I don't have anything. I don't have much. There's nothing much in the house." He continued to yell at her, putting the gun to her head while he did. I mean, this story is, it's pretty awful. This guy, Derek Condon, was his name. But at some point, she finally got him distracted by saying, "There's two safes in the basement." And so he took off for the basement to rummage around to see what he could find. In the meantime, 85 years old, she drags herself with that chair handcuffed to her to her bedroom and gets her 357 Magnum and comes back and sits back down where she'd been and waits for him to come back upstairs. And she said at some point she decided the time was now. There was no other point. So she went back into the living room. She hid the revolver right next to her where she was sitting. And when her victim's memory remains somewhat unclear as what happened next. But here's what happened. We do know. She made the decision it was now or never. And bless her heart, she pulled out that 357 Magnum and she put two slugs into him. And if you know what a 357 is, that's got some mule kick to it. The fact that she could wield a 357, first of all, is significant. But she put two rounds in him. In the meantime, he's carrying a 9mm automatic pistol of some type, and he emptied it at her. He's blasting away. He hit her in the abdomen, the leg, the arm, and the chest. She fell on the floor. He staggered into the kitchen where he lay on the floor and died of his wounds. The world does not have to worry about this guy anymore because Grandma took care of him. She, on the other hand, though, lay on the floor for 10 hours until her disabled son came and found her, and she told him how to go find her phone and bring it to him, and they called 911. The police arrived shortly thereafter, and she's going to make it. She's going to make it. But the police chief says it was literally her grit that got her through things. This guy Condon is not going to be a problem anymore. Listen, I just felt like that story was worth telling. Charlene sent me that, and I thought, yes, indeed.
That's an awesome story.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
And by the way, that grandma's like the Terminator.
I know. That's awesome.
I mean, she just took, how many rounds was it? She took four rounds. First of all, she drags the handcuffed chair into the other room, gets her 357, comes back and waits for old boy, puts two rounds in him while she's getting shot four times, and she's the one who lived.
Nice. She's that like is... the 50 Cent of Grandma World.
Good on you. Phil from Raleigh, North Carolina says, 357 Magnum, make my day, punk. Yes, it is. Mike from Coxie says, that is true grit. Yes, yes, it is. John from Huntsville got the grades in. Let's see what you got here for your sound effects. Because Phil, fantastic performance today, earns an A++. Lee from Huntsville also gets an A+. Stephanie Smith earns an A++ for her amazing performance, which means that Big Rig is obviously today's Turbo Thursday winner. And since today is also the first round of the Masters Golf Tournament, Big Rig, it's a special triple albatross perfection. Congratulations.
Wow. I don't think anybody's gotten that score before.
A triple albatross? How does that even happen?
I've been winning a lot lately here.
You have. You got a streak going. Allie from Athens says, go, Granny, go. From all of us who are north of 70, we salute you. Yes, that's the kind of story you need to know is still out there. By the way, that's a classic example of the good guy with the gun takes out the bad guy with the gun. And that's why we have a Second Amendment in part. Hey, if in case you didn't know, We've given today a name. If you're one of those who misses the beginning of the show too often, today's Turbo Thursday. We say that because we're turboing our way. That you named it that, I think. Turbo Thursday is turboing our way towards Friday. Am I right?
Well, somebody texted in Turbo Thursday. I was like, hey, that sounds like a good idea.
And so you've got a new sound effect for it. Mm-hmm. I think you need to play it right here before the end
all
of the
right.
show.
One more time.
Turbo Thursday. Go for it. Turbo Thursday.
Could mean that point in time inherently contains some sort of cosmic significance. Almost as if it were the temporal junction point of the entire space-time continuum.
Nice. So we will do that every time we come on for Turbo Thursdays from now on. Teresa from Town Creek just says, Grandma was on the right side. Yes. Yes, she was. And blessings on her as she heals. All right, you guys, listen, y'all are an amazing audience. This has been a great show. We filled it up with stuff. But I ask the question again. Think about it. What kind of Alabama do you want? What kind of Alabama do you want? If you will ask yourself that question, what kind of community do I want? What kind of Alabama do I want? And I don't mean like there's jobs here and there's like cost of living. I'm talking about culturally, socially, safety. What faith-based, what kind of Alabama do you want? When you're away and you're looking back on where you're from, what is it you're going to miss? And if we ask ourselves those questions, y'all, then we'll wind up fighting for the solution. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all have an amazing night. We'll see you tomorrow.